Hey, this is Michelle, and you're listening to Words with Michelle, the podcast, a show where I sit down and have conversations with influencers on a range of topics, anything from natural hair, employment, discrimination, food, relationships, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to send me an email, hit me up at michelle@wordsmichelle.com. Welcome to episode 1 of Words with Michelle. Today I'll be speaking about being natural in the workplace, aka wearing your hair naturally, and everything else to do with being natural. I speak with two women who are very passionate about this topic, the first being Nicole Jamila, and the second being poet Elisto. To start off the show, I asked them, why did you go natural? This is what they said.
For me, it's always been like on and off natural. Sometimes I permit, sometimes I don't. I've been natural for about the past 3 years now. And it's just always been, I just like to change my hair up. So it's not necessarily like I'm hardcore natural because I think relaxers crack. It's not because, you know, people say the cream crack or whatever. But it's just for the switch up of it. And for the past few years, I just prefer it natural.
Oh, cool. Nice. Okay.
And I've been natural since 2007, which was my last relaxer. So I've been transitioning since then, or I had transitioned for about a year. So since 2008, I've been completely natural. And my decision to be natural was a couple of reasons. So the first reason was it was an act of self-preservation, both physically and mentally, for my identity's sake. So from a physical standpoint, being 4C, if we're to use hair typing as a point of reference, the chemicals of a relaxer was literally damaging my skin and my overall health. So I had burns on my scalp. I started relaxing when I was like 11 or 12, and I had skin scalp burns. I've had my hair breaking off in my hand. I had hairdressers cutting my hair without permission. I had a hairdresser actually perm my hair without my permission. I had hairdressers not honoring the fact that I was saying that my scalp was burning. but we are the only ones who are told that we are not beautiful unless we do that. And so I knew that I had to do that in an act of defiance during a time and amongst a family that would not accept my hair as it naturally grew out of my head. And I had to do that for a form of my own asserting of identity. And so essentially I accepted from a very young age, by about 20 years old, where I said, you know what, I'm a walking revolution because my hair disturbs people's levels of comfort, and I'm okay with that, because if how I exist as I naturally exist as my hair grows out of my head is bothersome to you, it's more a critique of you than it is of me, and I'm okay with being naturally defiant by wearing my hair naturally.
Definitely. I love that.
It was more powerful than just saying like it's just hair, blah blah blah, and it is, by all means it is, but as a Black woman, and especially with my personal story and the physical traumas that I had endured through the chemical burning of my body, it was just the most, no pun intended, natural next step to take in my journey.
I kind of, I was like, with, like you too, like for me, I just started losing my hair. I was perming my hair and it just kept falling out. Like I didn't really have burns per se, but it was more so my hairline was gone. Like everything was gone. So I'm like, and I did that for like months and months and months until I'm like, I gotta transition. I gotta do something else. So I just started braiding my hair. And when it came in so thick, so healthy. So I'm like, that's the route that I'm going to take. So then let's talk about, like, I guess you spoke about your family and how they had a reaction. How about, Nicole, like, how about when you went to work, how did people treat you guys? Like, do you feel like when you just became natural, how did your coworkers deal with that?
Well, you know what? It's kind of the same reaction when I permed my hair, because I used to switch up my hair a lot. I was never really into weaves, but I'd always flip between either my hair would be relaxed and I'd have it in some, like I'd have a mohawk or something, or it'd be in braids down to my backside, like, one day. And I grew up, my mom was a hairstylist. So I grew up with, like, I was really fortunate that I didn't have, like, traumatic hair stories. Mm. And I didn't really get a lot of shame from at home. So I think I brought that to me when I went to work. That being said, my mother would always still caution me, like, oh, well, you don't know, because they might say it's not professional if it's not this or not that. So for me, I felt a lot of pressure to always have a hairdo. Mm-hmm. And then so with switching it to natural, I honestly have to say, because the first time that I went a long stretch with being natural was around that 2007 period as well. And I was getting it more so from Black women, and I was so shocked.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Stop right there. I'm sorry. You were getting more static from Black women? Is that what you're saying?
Not men. Black women. Yeah. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. It was like, oh, well, are you going to do that to your hair?
Yes.
Oh, it looks like this. It looks like that.
Oh, you need a perm.
And I was just like, what? I just like my hair. And then, you know, 2 months later, you switch your hairdo. And who's now wearing braids and stuff? Yes. Because you weren't reprimanded for it. So I don't know. I think I carried, not that I've always felt it, but I've always carried myself with a certain type of confidence.
Yes.
I've never received a lot of backlash from, like, my employers or anything. Maybe my nails might have gotten more than my hair, but my employers have usually been fairly embracing to it. Most of the time, my coworkers are, it could be a little annoying with the, oh my God, how'd your hair get so long every night? Like that thing is a little annoying.
Yeah. But, like,
I mean, for the most part, I think I've had a good reception to it, except that one little period, like a decade or so ago.
And so how about you? How about work situations?
When I transitioned and I was fully natural, I still hadn't graduated from university. So I entered the workforce with a slightly different perspective in that I was always natural. I've been natural my entire corporate career. Mm. So I did not care at that point about levels of professionalism and perceptions of professionalism based off of my hair. Because at that point, remember, a part of why I went natural was to assert my identity and be okay with being a walking revolution. So for me, it wasn't about perceptions of professionalism or respectability politics, because at that point I had already been like 3 years natural prior to entering the workforce. So it didn't trip me. It didn't faze me. It was just, this is how I am. It literally wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't until certain situations where other people may say, well, maybe you did so well in the interview, but the reason you didn't get hired is because you're Black. Or because of, and when they said it's because you're Black, it's not because I am Black as much as it's because I am a certain kind of Black. Because there's this perception of Blackness where there's the respectable Black and then there's the blackety Black. And so
wow.
Sometimes.
Then define that. Define what you just said.
Yeah. So the perception of blackety Black is like you're Pan-African or you're quote unquote woke or whatever phrase you want to look at, because I mean, 10, 15 years ago, we were using different terminology. But yeah, it was just an understanding of your Blackness and how you perform your Blackness determines what kind of Black person, quote unquote, you can't see me doing the air quotes. but yeah, quote unquote, what does Blackness mean? And what is it, how is it performed? And in that being said, while some people would say you sound really white, but your name isn't and your hair isn't, so that those are the types of obstacles you may face in the professional world. But for me as a person, as an individual, my hair has been more of a conversation in the terms of, I didn't know your hair could do that. Can I touch it? Can I explore it? Can I learn more about it? And less of, that's not professional, that's not acceptable. And I think in part because I never let it be part of the conversation, in the sense of I never let it be part of my internal narrative, simply because I had walked into the professional world with my hair natural for at least like 3 years at that point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was kind of like a non-factor in the hiring process. And it was somewhat a non-factor in terms of even being employed. Ironically enough, the times that my hair was more of a deterrent in my work experience was when I was working retail when I was in university. Mm. I and a retail of all things, I was working fashion retail, and I was working at Tommy Hilfiger, haha. And my manager at the time, she is Sri Lankan, but she was adopted by a white family. And she told me that my hair was Tommy, but the rest of me wasn't Tommy.
Wow.
And so the conflicting messaging is one of those things of like, so is my fro Tommy enough, not Tommy enough? Is my blackness not Tommy enough, but my hair is? Like, there was a whole lot of layered questioning that came with that. But yeah, in my corporate professional experience, beyond my retail experience, my hair has never been an issue. And maybe so also too, my managers have sense enough to know not to bring it to me. Because
yeah, true. That is true.
I mean, I'm not the one to be played with when it comes to that. Yeah.
I see that. I totally see that. For me, I went natural like a long time ago, like over 15 years ago. So I started off with permed hair, straightened hair in the workplace, and then I actually went natural. And it's funny, I got like different reactions. I think this is why this topic is really dear to my heart, because it's just, I just kind of lived like this weird experience. When it was permed, I mean, people liked it. I went braids, certain people liked it, not everybody. And you're right, even Black women, Nicole, you mentioned Black women had a little bit of issue with you, right? Like, my hairdresser told me I'm not going to get a job. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has been in my head, like, forever. I mean, clearly I don't believe it, but I remember getting my hair done, and she's like, you know you're not going to get a job, right? And I'm like, are you serious? You are a Black woman. How could you say this? You know?
A Black woman with a job is telling you not going to get a job. Yes. It just doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. Like, and I think even for myself, when I was in university, that was something that I had a professor say to me. She said, have you considered this? She says, I don't believe it, but has that crossed your mind that there's potential that you may not be employable based off of how your hair appears? And it was one of those things where she's like, I don't believe this. I would hire you, but it's not about me. It's about me being your professor, letting you know that may be an obstacle that you have to overcome, and not that you should change it. Just be aware that that might be something, an additional barrier to your intersectionality that you may have to deal with as a challenge in your search for work.
Also, Nicole, sorry, you were saying something. Do you remember?
I think I lost my thought.
It's okay.
I was agreeing, like, this is just crazy how a hairstylist with a job, whose job is to help you actually bring out your creativity, bring out your best feeling, is telling you that, well, you look great, boo, but you're not going to get a job looking
good. Yeah.
That to me is crazy.
Well, mm-hmm. The good thing about it is, like, I already knew that I was suffering from hair loss. So her saying that didn't change my mind, because I didn't want to go bald. Like, the thing is, I mean, you know, you're young and you're like, you want to start your career. I didn't want to, like, so I thought it's the only way I'm going to do it. Like, I mean, I didn't really have to listen to it too. I knew what I wanted to do. I totally knew what I wanted to do. But I guess one of the reasons why I did start want to talk about this is because I've had my experience with natural hair in the workplace has been interesting. There has been people who've said, why'd you do that? There's been, but then also what I've noticed in the past 4 years, there's like people who are not Black completely embracing my natural hair and will tell me, Michelle, I prefer your natural hair to your extensions. I get that all the time. So I'm like, is it shifting? Is it changing? Do we see a shift? Because we still have issues with, they have like a major issue with dreads for some reason. Like, you always hear in the States, this person lost their job because they're wearing dreadlocks. So I'm thinking, is it conflicting? Like, is it really changing? Like, would you say that it's more accepting? Would you say?
I always wonder that too, because I mean, like, for most of my whole adult life, I've lived in Southern Ontario, mostly Toronto. And if I wasn't in Toronto, I would say like in Montreal, like I was in a bigger city where I saw other Black people. I grew up in a small town, well, a smaller city, I should say. I grew up in Kingston, so mostly white people.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a kid, you're a teenager there, so people don't really think about your hair. You're just a kid. But like growing up and coming into age in a bigger city, I felt more accepting because, period, I just saw more people that looked like me. So my one of my best friends and my cousin, she lives in Ohio, and it's absolutely different. She still perms her hair, and she's still always like in awe, like how, like everybody up here, their hair is natural. To her, every Black person up here, their hair is natural. Mm-hmm. And for her, she's an exception, because yes, just she perms her hair, but she doesn't wear weaves and stuff like that. So it's an exception for her out there to not even be doing that part of the hair regime. Okay. So to her, it's like, wow, I don't know how you guys do it. And this person doesn't say this and that. And so I'm like, no, like it doesn't happen. But then I forget that, no, that's a real reality for some people that they can't. And like my mother has dreadlocks, but, and like her, she'll see my mother and like, oh, your hair looks beautiful, auntie, and whatever. But then at this, in the same breath, almost like, oh no, that man has dreadlocks and he can't look like this and he can't do that for me in life, whatever, because they have that perception that dreadlocks are bad. And it's baffling to me.
It's completely baffling to me. Do you guys remember when I think that wrestler, it was in the States, I can't remember how long ago, it was this year.
Yeah, it was this year, at the beginning of the year. It was a high school student.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That infuriated me. I'm like, how did someone tell you how you can wear your hair? It just, that, I just don't understand how that actually happened.
I think one of the things is, a part of it is generational and a part of it is cultural. I think a part of it, like, it would never even cross a lot of people in younger generations to be like, oh, you're gonna wear your hair natural. Of course, that's how it grows out of your head. Yeah. In part because their mothers have always been natural their entire lives. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people who are 30 plus, for instance. And if you know your mom, either she still has her hair permed or is wearing a weave or whatever it is, or she does have natural hair, she was always the odd one out. Unless it was like your entire family had locks or your entire family was natural or whatever it looked like. There's a few exceptions to those rules. Versus now, where there's a lot of young people who are growing up and they've always had natural hair. They've never had a relaxer, or their mothers have never known to have relaxers. That being said, I think in addition to that is a cultural component of it as well, where there's a lot of people who accept locks culturally, mm-hmm. but then there's a lot of people who are still conditioned to not accept locks. Locks are dirty. You can accept natural hair. You can't accept locks. There's this perception of like locks being unkept or whatever it is. Like Nicole was saying earlier, like, oh, that man can't do that for me. Because there's a perception of, if you have locks, you're a certain type of person. And if you're that type of person, then you can't do this for me. As if that logically makes sense, which obviously I think we can all agree.
Wow. Locks are my favorite style, by the way. That's what kills me. I think I don't have lots. I mean, these are just twists, but I'm like, man, dreadlocks are my absolute favorite. So I guess I take it personally when people attack them. So I'm thinking, what? It is so beautiful. Like, I don't mm-hmm. see anything wrong with it. I just don't think anyone should tell me what to wear at my job.
That's mm-hmm. I don't think anyone should tell you what to wear, period. I think it's this whole scope of respectability politics, where there's what is respectable and what is not. But no one is questioning the systemic constraints that are creating these respectability politics. For instance, there may be a shift that's happening even culturally, regardless of generation, of the acceptance of natural hair. But has the system kept up with these cultural shifts? And generally speaking, systems don't evolve as quickly, bureaucracies don't evolve as quickly as our cultural mindsets will evolve. So if that's to be true, then naturally it would make sense that a referee would go into a high school space and tell a Black student mm-hmm. that you are unable to wear your hair in this way because our bureaucracy does not allow that style to be deemed acceptable. But that's from a bureaucratic standpoint. Meanwhile, cultural views have evolved enough to have this 16-year-old or however old he was wrestler wear his hair in locks as he deemed fit. So I think that's also something to look at as well, of understanding that there's a cultural evolution that accepts natural hair now that didn't exist even 10 years ago, let's be honest, yeah. Because when I went natural, and I'm sure Nicole and Michelle, you can attest to this, in part because we were on that bandwagon, quote unquote, long before the bandwagon started, you couldn't jump on YouTube because YouTube didn't exist. And if it did, the grainy videos of tutorials you were getting are nothing like they are now.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to tell you what to do with your hair because the products were barely available. And they're telling you to mash bananas and avocados and put it in your hair.
Why? Natural hair revolution has definitely taken on a different life. You're right. Like, you're making me think of back in the day. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I would, there was one person, and I ended up interviewing her for my blog. It was called I Heart My Hair.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, from back in the day, like, I found her on YouTube because I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hair. I never took care of my hair, to be quite honest. I always had it in extensions. And then I realized it wasn't, I think it was like, maybe it was about 10 years ago. And I thought, you gotta rock your hair. You gotta rock it. You have hair. You gotta learn how to twist it. You gotta learn how to braid it. You gotta learn how to moisturize. You gotta do all of that. And that's when I became more natural, I guess. Because that's when I actually, because I do love my hair. When I hear people say they don't love their hair, like mm-hmm. little girls, or even women. Actually, there's a lot of women. Mm-hmm. I had someone who worked with me, and I remember her looking at my fro because I was rocking this twist out, and a little bit of a disgust. She didn't look too happy with it. Like, you know what I mean? So I like to see how we are somewhat evolving in that natural hair journey. There are more things out for us right now. So
I mean, you can walk into Shoppers Drug Mart or Walmart and find products.
Yeah.
That never happened before.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what city you lived in, whether you lived in Kingston or Brampton or downtown Toronto, you could not walk into just any store and find a product that could potentially work for your hair. Now you can. You know what I mean? There was a time where there was the black section, but it was like two shelves. And really and truly, it was what, like Golden Pride or whatever it's called.
Pink Fluster.
Right? Blue Magic.
Did you guys go through like hair fails? Like, did you kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think you have to because it's to your point, Michelle, there was a lack of education that existed. And a part of it is because the tradition of hair maintenance and hair health was lost. In a lot of different cultures, hair care is a generational thing that is passed on. These are the products that we use. These are the oils that we use. This is how we style our hair for length or thickness or whatever it is. South Asian cultures are a perfect example of that. But due to our history as a diaspora, and not even going back 400 years, but just in general, due to imperialism, colonialism, we have lost our hair practices to fit under the, again, the systemic structures that of respectability politics of this is what makes you a respectable Black woman. And in turn, we've lost these practices. So our mothers were not even able to teach us some of these ways that are healthy to grow our hair, moisturize our hair, protect our hair, style our hair. So when we went natural, we were not equipped with the toolkit necessary to even take care of our own hair as it grew out of our head. Now it's a completely different thing, like we've already established, but we had to go through it all because we did not know what we were doing. And the only way you could learn was literally through trial and error.
You had no other
way to do it.
Like you saying this, like it just, what I often think about is like, I think about how, these were things that were almost lost. And like, we are so fortunate that we are in a place where we're now like, no, we're reclaiming these things and that they will be passed on to the next generations, because it might be just hair, but it's such a small, huge part of who we are that it's,
Our hair is so a part of our identity. I mean, like, if we want to accept that or not, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I guess people define us. Like, and I think, Alisa, you were saying something about, like, it's so, of course, our hair is tied to politics, right? Like, they think if you're natural, they think of you as a certain type of person, a certain type of Black. You know what I mean?
You're more
militant, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've been told that before. I've been told, oh, so you think you're like Black because, oh, so, all right. So between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, I choose Malcolm X, but it doesn't mean that I'm Blackity Black. and I have natural hair. Now I'm extra Black. And it's just like, it's really wild to me that we still have these perceptions of what does Blackness and performing Blackness look like. And it is manifested in how we wear and how we choose to wear our hair. Because even There's plenty of women who have healthy heads of natural hair underneath their weaves. But because they're wearing weaves, we have this perception that it's self-hate of weaves. We, as the Black community, have made certain associations before people outside of our community can even make some of these associations for us, of what Blackness and the perception and performance of Blackness is. And based off of how we choose to wear our hair, without really understanding the complexities and the dualities and the intersectionalities that exist in our choices and how we reach these conclusions.
Okay, I have a kind of controversial question. Not controversial, but do you guys think, both of you, think that, okay, women that don't, because you kind of touched on that, Alistair, like women that wear weaves or wigs, do you think they are conforming? Because they're usually straight. The hair is usually straight, right? What do you think about that?
I'll have to be honest, it depends on the quality of the weave. If that weave or that wig looks like it's crooked on your head and that it's just not taken care of, then it just makes you wonder, like, what is it that you think you have underneath there looks worse than what you've got on top of here? You've got that, like, flowing Nicki Minaj bright pink hair going down to your ankles, I'm like, hey girl, get it, because it means, like, to me, that's you expressing your personality, not hiding it. So,
and even if you have the silky straight Malaysian whatever brand, I don't know because I've never worn weave before in your life, like, if that's what you choose to wear, if the quality, to Nicole's point, I'm all about quality. If what is on your head top makes sense, then I'm for it. If what's on your head top does not make sense, I'm like, Nicole, I'm questioning what makes you think what is underneath your weave is so terrible that you have to wear whatever kind of thing you're wearing on your head top.
I love the fact you both said that. That is so true, though. Like, I mean, like, because I kind of didn't think about it. I was kind of narrow-minded when I thought about weave. I thought, okay, you're just hiding whatever, but it's either you're just protecting, and then you go, it goes with what you're saying, like the quality, does it look good, do you know what I mean? So
I think there are some women who are wearing weaves regardless of the quality, who may have certain hang-ups or issues that they're working through or that they walk with, absolutely. But for us to make a blanket statement that all women who wear weave regardless of quality have a degree of self-hate is a very problematic statement, in the same way that we would believe that every Black woman with natural hair is highly militant, is a problematic statement. So I think that we really have to understand the complexities of it. But on a personal level, just as a woman to woman, please, if the same way we want natural hair to look good, however we perceive that when women leave their house, say, well, I want your weave to look good. Please do not have a bird's nest matted in the back. Don't have synthetic ends that look terrible and mashed down.
Wow. No,
I'm just saying as it is, because I've seen some stuff and I'm like, you're better off having worn a hat or a head wrap than wearing what you're calling hair, because the reality is we all know it doesn't belong to you. Right? And not like, oh, it doesn't belong to you, but you bought it. It's like, it doesn't belong to you and you should not have bought it. You should not have put it on. You need to dispose of it.
Oh,
you
need,
like we need prayer for this, because I've seen some stuff. But yeah, I'm with Nicole. Quality, before we start making judgments and passing critiques about why you've chosen to do it, please just make sure you're like, say when we're asking natural girls to leave their house looking like their hair has been kept, we're asking girls what weaves look like your hair has been kept.
See, that statement too, then, I guess that's kind of up to the eye of the beholder, right?
Of course. But I think we can all agree that some synthetic weaves it's a hard pass. I mean, there's some days where you wear your fro and your fro is really shrunken and it's kind of like it could do with a good detangle or some moisturizer. Like, we all have rough days as people, period. A man could need a shave up, a line up, whatever it looks like. But if you think that what you're wearing on your head that does not look good looks better than what you have underneath, that's the problem.
That's the point. That's exactly the issue. That's perfect. That's so true. How about, okay, so I'm going to take this back. I'm not sure if you guys ever watch Chris Rock's, oh my God, the documentary he had about hair.
I watched a bit of it a few years ago when it first came out. I watched bits and pieces of it, but yeah. I'll be honest, it was hard for me to own some of those parts. Like, so sometimes I do like to put, well, when my hair was straight, I used to like to put tracks in and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to watch these women who have to grow their hair out for us. And then sometimes it's hard for me to think about the environmental impact that my Kinecalon hair is making when I take it in and take it out. So I'll admit it's hard for me to look at myself in the mirror sometimes.
I didn't watch it. I had no desire to watch it. I had no interest in watching it. I did not think that it was going to be beneficial for me as an individual. So I opted not to watch it. I don't even think I watched pieces of it.
because the thing is, the reason why I mentioned it is because when that movie came out, for the life of me, I cannot even remember the name of it.
Good Hair.
And think about the title alone, eh?
It's so that was the thing. There was a lot of problems in it for me as a Black woman, especially being newly natural and knowing the barriers and obstacles that I was facing because my hair is not deemed good hair. It was a problem for me. There was a lot of problems. And it's not about if it was Chris Rock or if it wasn't Chris Rock or any of those kinds of things that people had issues with. It was, I don't have what is deemed societally as good hair, no matter how healthy it is, no matter how dense it is, no matter how short or long it is, because it's not about length, no matter how healthy it is, it will never be deemed good. So, and I know it might have been a play on words, blah, 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 but it was a personal decision that I made when it first came out that I wasn't going to watch it. I had no desire to watch it. And I feel like any of the knowledge that may have been shared there, I could acquire it from somewhere else. And I haven't watched it to know if I did, but I've done quite a bit of research in my time, especially of being natural, to feel like, I can confidently say I didn't need to watch it to gain my knowledge on the Black hair industry from a societal or economic or historical viewpoint, because I just found that knowledge elsewhere.
I did watch it, actually, and I had such mixed feelings about it. I watched it because I was natural at the time. I mean, I just was, going through the natural process, and you kind of feel like, oh my God, I want to watch a movie that kind of reflects me, but to be quite honest, the movie didn't. It had some points and some low lights, because he said certain things that were really, like, untrue for me. I just remember one line, and it always sticks out of my head, and someone said, why do women perm their hair? And then he says, because they hate their hair. I'm like, how could you say this? How could you say this on camera? So that's something that kind of like, I mean, I didn't use this as the Bible, like his movie. It was just something to watch, right? But it didn't, I remember seeing little girls, like 2 and 3, getting their hair permed. And it was kind of disturbing. I thought, why is that being done? Like, why would someone feel that you can put chemicals in a little girl's head? Do you know what I mean? It really, that part bothered me. I just found it like, that wasn't really my reality. I mean, my mom used to braid my hair and cornrows and, you know what I mean? When you're a kid. So it just kind of freaked me out that there was a little bit of self-hate, right? That you had to straighten a little, like I'm talking about toddler, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about a 7-year-old. I'm talking about someone younger, right? Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be 7 and purping your hair anyways. But, but that was, when that movie came out, it's kind of an old movie now, but it kind of did start with that natural hair movement. It did kind of part of it. It may have not been the best representation, because I don't think it was, but it had a lot of conversations, right? Mm-hmm. It really started a lot of conversations. So I can enjoy it for that, but there's just certain things about that movie that I'm like, that's not true about me. Maybe I did. And I will say that when I was younger, maybe I didn't like my hair. Because it wasn't easy to do. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't easy to manage. So, I mean, I liked other hair. I'm not even going to lie. But, I mean, I'm an adult now. That's so not me. I love kinky hair. I love natural hair. I love seeing people rock their hair. It's beautiful to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
I think for me, I have a slightly different upbringing story in terms of my attachment and relationship to my hair, in the sense of other people told me not to like it, but I always had this secret love for it. And I remember when I went fully natural, I was like, what is not as hard to manage as everyone made it seem?
No, it's not.
Like, I was expecting, and it's not to be like, when my hair is incredibly dense, So I've met some people and they're like, yeah, I have 4C. I'm like, then I have 4Z because like we do not have the same hair type.
Wow.
Moisturized, not moisturized. Like, no, I definitely have a kinky coil. And so, yeah, I remember being, once I was like 19 and I was fully natural, just being very surprised by all of the running commentary that had existed about my hair up until that point, about it being challenging and about it being difficult and about it being unmanageable. And I, and even now in all of my natural experience, have never come across that. I think every person has challenges with their hair, regardless of race, because we all have bad hair days. We all have days where we just want to throw our hair up and just be done with it. We've all contemplated doing a big chop. Like, we just can't stand our hair anymore. But it was never about my hair being bad by my own personal perceptions. Yeah. And I don't know how, but by literally the grace of Jesus, that I did not internalize those stories that other people had about my hair. I grew up in a family of mixed heritage, and their hair types are very different than mine. And so with my mom being biracial, for instance, it was kind of like, hands up, what do I do? Like, I'm not equipped with the knowledge necessary on how to ensure that my child's hair is the healthiest it can be. And she did everything, I think, to make it healthy, because my hair was incredibly healthy with the braiding and the moisturizing and the washing routines that we had. But yeah, it was just one of those things of this perception of what made hair good and this perception of what made hair easy, that was projected on me as my hair not being those things. And somehow I was like, okay, that's one person's opinion. But my hair literally defies gravity, so there's that.
That's so true.
Right? And in turn, even when I was newly natural, there was a lot of like working in retail, working in Tommy Hilfiger, going back to Tommy, where there were Black women who would inadvertently or maybe very intentionally have conversations with their young children, their young daughters around me, being 5 and 6, and them telling their daughters about me in front of me in earshot, saying, look at her hair, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it just like yours? And making those associations so that they could see that there is someone else who has beautiful hair that's just like yours. So if you think her hair is beautiful, why don't you think your hair is beautiful?
I thought that was going the opposite way. I was like, oh, no.
No, but that's the thing. I think it's a testament to the cultural evolution that's happening and that has been happening over the course of the past 10 years, in particular this entire decade, where there is a shift that's happening. Because a lot of these moms, if you looked at them, they look like they just got a big chop done, or they were in the process of just growing out their hair, and they really wanted to encourage their daughters to accept their natural hair. Growing up, I was one of few Black people in my school. I was the only Black girl in my grade for years, so I didn't have the experience of looking around and seeing girls who had hair like mine. But for some reason that didn't affect me in that sense. But that being said, there's a lot of girls who have similar upbringings right now. So their moms were using me as like a touch point of, you think her hair is beautiful, your hair is beautiful too.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. And even from when I was like, I don't know if I ever really hated my hair or anything like that. For as long as I remember, I've always just wanted different hair, just like in general. I always wanted it big and curly one day, or I wanted no hair, I wanted it long. Like, I remember those being my fantasies as a little kid. Yeah. I've just
your always... mom was also a hairstylist, so that might have been
that's a huge point.
That might have been part of it. But like when I got older and I started really recognizing that some of my friends, like say girlfriends who were white that had mixed children, and they're trying to deal with their daughter's hair, and they don't want to put relaxant in their daughter's hair. Good. And they want their children to, like, you know, really love their hair. It really made me think, like, me walking on as a Black woman, like how I wear my hair does affect other people, especially younger people. And then I have a son, and when I was young, like, I mean, I'd love him to grow up and think all women are beautiful, but I didn't want him growing up thinking Black women were only beautiful if they had perms, or if they only had straight hair, and if they looked like this. I wanted him to know that a Black woman looking like a Black woman on her best day and her worst day is just as beautiful as you know, the societal norm of what a woman's supposed to look like. So it, to me, is like, I didn't really start thinking about how my own hair, how I walked around in my hair was going to affect others until I really started taking in like the younger generations around me.
That's so good. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that. And how you are equipping your son to be a young man who not just respects women, but can appreciate the beauty of all women, especially as a young Black man. Yeah. Teaching him that is so necessary, not just powerful, but necessary. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, actually, to that point too, like I have a nephew, he's like 8 years old. And when he sees Michelle Auntie with like extensions, but I also let him see my hair natural. Like even when I'm taking it out, I want him to see it. I want him to appreciate it. I don't want him to think this is what my hair looks like, because my hair does not grow out red. You know what I mean? So I kind of like, I want you to know I'm a Black woman. I want you to know what my hair actually looks like, not just this. Like you said, Nicole, like you both said, it's important, you know, not what you see on TV, because, oh my God, this is another topic, but what we see on TV not necessarily reflects me. Like
not everyone's going to be rolling out with the Tracee Ellis Ross fro. Like that's just a reality.
Oh my God.
Like, you know what I mean?
Your goals, like, I'm not going to lie, but I know I can't attain that.
But the thing with it is she really goals? She's biracial. At the end of the day, I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My hair is beautiful. Never
I don't like people. Sorry.
Oh, of course. No, her hair is gorgeous. But her hair is gorgeous for Tracee Ellis Ross. And my hair is gorgeous for Alee Stoll. Because at the end of the day, I'm not biracial. It doesn't matter what my heritage looks like. My hair will never look like hers. And I think that there's a lot of women who go natural. And I've had this conversation, but there's a lot of women who have gone natural and they were disappointed by what their natural hair turned out to grow like, because they thought Tracee Ellis Ross, because we were not seeing enough 4C froze, for instance.
Yeah.
And that we believed that when we had our natural hair, it was going to be Tracee Ellis Ross. And there's nothing wrong with that. If your hair grows like that, that's beautiful. But if your hair doesn't grow like that, it's also beautiful. We just didn't see that to be true.
But you know what's funny about that? People actually expect that too. Like, even if we expect it, like, or not myself, but I mean, like someone may personally expect that. I think other people too. They're like, oh yeah, well, take out your extensions and your hair will look like this. They have like this fantasy of what your hair looks like. I'm like, I know what my hair looks like. Mm-hmm. It ain't that. No, it's so not.
It's lack of education. I think it's just a well-rounded lack of education and just lack of exposure. Going to that media point that you were making earlier, Michelle, it's a lack of what we're seeing in
diversity
on television and media in general. We aren't seeing enough Black women being Black women as we exist. And it doesn't mean that you have to be light skin, dark skin, brown skin, whatever. It just means we are a diverse people. We need a diverse representation. We're not all going to be Cindy Copelands, and we're not all going to be Tracee Ellis Rosses. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some of us are that in between, those brown skin girls. We're not team light skin or team dark skin, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But because we're so different and we're such a spectrum, we need to have that representation taking place. And I think that's why there's some little girls who get really disappointed, who grow up to be really disappointed Black women, because we have never had those proper perceptions of what Black womanhood can be expressed as.
Yeah, so true.
So I just want to wrap this up. I want to thank you guys for sharing, you know, your personal experiences and talking about this topic, because this topic is like, it's right on my heart right there. Like, it's like something I like talking about like every day, just because people talk about it. People respond to me differently. And I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I know when my hair looks different, I am treated differently. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I really want to have other women speak about their experiences with regards to being natural. Because I want to know, are you going through the same thing? Like, how do you feel about it? And I guess, again, for the topic, was just because I kind of saw a shift. I'm not going to lie. For me personally, I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I do see a bit of a shift and acceptance. I guess it's because of what people have told me about my hair. And just, they're like, don't do this anymore. Just do like, just rock your fro. And like I said, this is coming from people that are not Black women, not Black men. This is white people, which freaks me out. But, so just to end off, do you guys have any like last points that you would like to make with regards to like working with natural hair or even just anything about your natural hair?
I think as long as your hair is clean, your hair is clean, you're not smelly. Your hair should be any way you want. And even like to what you were just saying, like people are telling you, don't wear your hair this way or that way. Like, well, you wear your hair according to your mood in general. Sure. So, I mean, like if you feel like having braids, that's easier. To me, that's easier. It's you who has to wear your hair at the end of the day. You need to walk around feeling good for yourself. You need to walk around with what's good for yourself. If it's easier for you to have it in braids, and that's what you do, then that's what you do. And if it's easier for you to have it in a weave, or even if it's easier for you to relax it, then that's what you do. But as long as you're doing it for the right reasons, like your own self-esteem, and it not to appease anybody else, and know that it's not for anybody else's worth. You're worthy you're just worthy, plain and simple, yeah. Just based on you and what you want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nice point.
For myself, I have had corporate experiences, and now being a full-time creative, I've had the creative experience and the perceptions of what it looks like to walk up to a mic with a fro. So I've had that experience as well. And at the end of the day, I think the commonality, regardless of what field of work I am in, it is that I have to know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
In my totality, so that no matter what someone's perception of me, good or bad, because some people like to look at my fro and say that, oh, I know you're a poet. I knew you were the poet because I saw your natural hair. Or people telling me, like my professor telling me, you may not get a job because of your natural hair. And understanding that those challenges may exist, but also understanding that I need to know who I am in my totality so that I can exist as I exist in my totality in a way that makes me feel most confident and most aligned to my purpose so that I can move and operate from that place of power. So I think what I would share is understand that our hair as Black women is more than hair, but it is also deeply personal. And you need to do the thing that makes you feel most comfortable so that you can move and operate in your purpose, in your greatness, and in your power so that you can impact the world around you as it exists for you.
I want to thank both ladies for their thoughts and opinions on the topic. And I also want to thank you for listening. Until the next episode, bye.